The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
But I know lots of you at this stage would have seen these statistics revealed today. 14 out of 15 learner drivers involved in fatal crashes in Ireland last year didn't have a fully licensed driver with them. They're meant to, but 14 out of 15 were either on their own in the car or the people with them did not have a full license. Elsewhere, 1 in 10 Irish motorists, 1 in 10, have admitted having driven after consuming alcohol in the last 12 months. Like 1 in 10, that might not sound like a lot, but that is huge. 10% of the driving population of this country admit to drink driving in the last 12 months. That is, I don't know what the statistics are or what the maths is. That's hundreds of thousands of car journeys, one would suspect, possibly taken under the influence. How do we go about changing this type of behaviour and these types of attitudes? Stella O'Malley, the psychotherapist and author, is with me now. Stella, you're welcome to the show. I mean, there's so many different strands to this. There is punishment, there is enforcement, and then there's just culture and behaviour, if we kind of muddle the two of them together, which is, I guess, what we want to talk a little bit about. How difficult is it to change behaviour?
Well, you know, we've seen in different kind of, you know, with the flick of a pen, you know, Micheál Martin, I think, was changed, you know, our plastic bag behaviour. So it's possible to do with a strong, you know, with a strong law and strong reinforcement, but it has to have strong reinforcement. And it does feel like that it's quite erratic, a lot of the laws are in Ireland, that, you know, for example, it might be kind of the speed limit 100 kilometres or something on a very small country road, and then it can be something like 50 kilometres on a big stretch but feels like a very safe road. And so it often does feel like we're being asked sometimes to follow laws that aren't particularly intuitive. On top of that, there's cars that can go extremely fast, way faster than the speed limit. And anybody who's an interest in machines, not me, I've no interest in machines, but anybody who's an interest, they almost psychologically, it's like a psychological itch, they want to check out the power of the machine.
Yeah.
And it's almost, it's always a temptation when it's a big stretch of road, it's dark at night, nobody else on the road, and you're there in a car, and you know the car has so much more power in it. I don't see why there is so much power in these cars. It doesn't really make sense in Ireland.
Yeah, how do you explain people's reluctance, though, or the reluctance of some, certainly, to allow government to intervene on that front? So but let me ask the question a different way. Let's imagine for a moment that cars, since kind of day dot, had always been developed with speed limiters installed. They could never go over what the national speed limit for the country was. I can't imagine you'd get very far if you came onto national radio to suggest, you know what, I think we should get rid of them. We should all be able to drive double the speed limit. You know, you wouldn't.
That's a very good way of framing it.
When somebody suggests you do the opposite, you limit people to the speed limit. I mean, there's kind of this attitude that it's an assault on our civil liberties or something.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't make sense, because if you want to say what's the assault, well, the assault is the speed limit, which is brought in for various reasons. But the assault on our civil liberties is already there with the speed limit. And the cars should be attuned to the law of the land. There is an interesting part of driving that is kind of psychologically interesting, which is you could argue that when somebody gets behind the wheel of a car, you can see what they do with power. You can see how they handle power. And young men in particular, they are prone to taking risks. In their defense, their brains are formed that way, so that their ability to see risk is quite muted. It's not fully formed. And their ability to see the benefit of risk is massive. It's like a neon light for them. And so they are going to be prone to risk taking. They're going to be prone to go faster, to be impulsive, to overtake and things like that. Put them in a car that can go very fast, and you've got a really dangerous combination. It's not fair on anybody, really, because they're not up to the ability to handle that power. And so other people get very angry with power, and some people get very kind of crazy with power, and you can see it by the way they drive.
Yeah, and you see it as well sometimes with, you know, tractors. Obviously, you don't have to be 17. I think you drive a tractor when you're 16, that little bit younger. But that goes back to kind of a time when lots of young fellas in particular maybe were leaving school early because they were going to work on the farm and the family farm, and B, tractors weren't the size they are now. So you've got some 16-year-olds sitting behind a big JCB Fast Track, which can go about 100 kilometres an hour down some country road, and they're kind of puffing away mad on the triple watermelon vapes or looking at the phone while they do it. It's absolutely mental
It's a funny image, so I laughed. But honestly, I live in the countryside. It's frightening. Those yolks are huge and you get barreled out of the way and you're halfway in the ditch and they are huge and they're fast. So like, and again, that's, you know, how you handle power. You're king of the road. You're on, you're bigger than everybody. You're higher than everybody and you're barreling along.
Well, you do kind of get a rush when you're in a big car like that or a big tractor.
You do.
Honestly, you do. I used to drive a long time ago. I was still studying and I had a job on the side and I would drive a delivery van. It was just a van, but it was a big van, yeah. I have to say, I'll admit it, I got a bit of a kick out of kind of driving around in a big van.
Well, it's a power rush. And I actually do know what you're talking about because I have once or twice driven a big van and it's like, whoa, this is kind of amazing. There's a kind of a feeling of, wow, this is really kind of powerful as such. But that's fine and dandy when you're, you know, in your 40s or whatever. When you're a young fella, especially, I just think in fairness, there should be speed limiters if on nobody else under 25s. Because their ability to handle risk is not fully formed and their tendency to go fast is seen in the statistics all over the country every single year. And it's tragic.
The other argument that's sometimes made around changing behaviour, how to do it, is to bring back those kind of hard-hitting ads. And, you know, on the one level, you can understand it because we all remember them and, you know, they must have resonated with us on some level if we can all remember them in such detail, all the different iterations of them. At the same time, you have to ask who your target audience is. And you keep talking about young men in particular, young drivers, young men. I'm not sure they're sitting watching ads the way we did.
Yeah, their parents are. Those ads are very effective. A speed limit, frankly, I'm very pro speed limits on cars. And I don't understand why people never speak about it. And some of those cars can go so fast. And I'm like, why? When are they going to be going that fast? They're never going to be allowed to go that fast. There is no opportunity to go that fast. Why are they on it? I'm sure all the boy racers would throw eggs at me for that. But it doesn't make sense that they have such powerful cars. Mm. And it's counterintuitive and it shows a culture that is not in tune with wanting us to slow down. They say they want to slow down. It's like social media. Oh yeah, we want to get the kids off. And then they give them every opportunity to enjoy going very fast.
One listener here says, I rang 999 for the Gardaí to report a young crazy driver going through a village at least twice the speed limit. But the guard said I'd have to come down and make a statement. Absolutely crazy. Of course I wasn't going to be doing that as much as I'd like to. I don't want to draw attention to me or my family home. The system is broken. No names, please. They say, well, if you didn't sign your name to the text, I don't have it. But thank you for it anyway. Somebody else says, I have twin boys who have been preparing for their test for 6 months and in that time have their own shared car, which is fitted with a speed tracker. They're also not allowed to drive the car without me or their mother. We have encouraged them to take extra lessons to pass their test. Parents need to take control of the teenagers as well. All young drivers should have speed trackers as compulsory, as compulsory to having insurance. But here's another Sella. My Japanese imported car was limited to 180 kilometres an hour, but I took the limiter off. Japanese cars all have them. So there's somebody who decided 180 kilometres an hour was just too slow.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
That's astonishing. And that shows a kind of an attitude in the culture that people think it's fine. If you've got the opportunity, you can go 180 kilometres. Why would anybody take the speed limit off that? That's really, really fast. But
on some level, I guess, you know, in order for us to kind of get behind the wheel of these massive killing machines, for want of a better description, we have to be able to kind of shut our brain off to the possibility or to the likelihood that we're also the ones that can cause accidents. You know, it's a thing, maybe a kind of psychologically, we can kind of convince ourselves, you know what, like my car, I can take the speed limit off. I'm not the one who's going to be crashing.
Yeah, it's a bad psychology and it's a bad attitude. It'd be much better that we kind of have respect for the power of the machine that we're using. And that because the fact is, it is a very powerful machine. And thankfully, you know, honestly, the deaths on the road, while they're always every death is a tragedy, they have been better than they were decades ago. And a lot of people don't realize that. But the power of the vehicles has gone up so fast that it's not just